Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mike Keith joins us now, the voice of the Titans. He and Mike Vrabel will be on right after us today, the Mike Vrabel show that you can catch. It's a shame, Mike Keith. I don't know what you guys are going to talk about. It's just nothing big going on right now.
Yeah, I'd say there's probably going to be some discussion of offense and quarterback. I'd say that's probably going to happen, and I would say we'll get some calls, and people will tweet us at Titans Radio with their questions, and Mike will answer all of them. Daniel Jeremiah is on too, as a matter of fact.
Ah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great. He does the Chargers color commentary.
Oh, he does. I didn't know that.
And then our color commentator, Dave McGinnis, is also on the show, and he's got some interesting takes always. So I think it's going to be a pretty good show tonight.
Do you think Coach Vrabel will break the news as to who the quarterback will be against the Chargers tonight on his own show?
You know, Brent, I dream of that.
Yeah.
because it's I used
weird
to
thing
be,
to dream about, Mike.
Well, but I mean, it's,
I feel you.
Well, but I mean, you're always hopeful these things will happen on your program, and that everybody will say, oh, as he said to Mike Keith on Titans Radio.
Yes.
But in 22 years, I don't think that's ever happened. The only time we've ever been quoted is generally like bad things. so I doubt seriously that's going to happen tonight. And I, in all seriousness, I doubt it would happen tonight because I don't think they have informed the quarterbacks yet of what is going on.
Right.
And that's, for people who don't know, Tuesday is generally the off day for players in the NFL because they're in a union. They have a mandatory off day. Normally that day is Tuesday. The quarterbacks will generally pop in to get the game plan because they'll want to study it before Wednesday. And normally that's when they would find out what's going to happen. So I would not think he would pop any news tonight because I would think he would want to discuss it with the people involved beforehand.
Mike, what is your take on what you saw out of both quarterbacks, out of Ryan, out of Marcus in the game yesterday? What's your take on both of them?
Well, Marcus had a bad day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And you saw him miss receivers. He appeared confused sometimes by the coverage. The first two sacks that he took were plays where he was not really pressured. He stepped up in the pocket and tried to run when they sort of showed him some things in coverage, and he was tripped up and one at the line of scrimmage and one for a 1 yard loss. He was just not in any sort of sync with anything. You never got a feeling that he was going to be able to stack plays together based on how he was throwing the football. Tannehill threw the football better. Involved the receivers well, but again, not able to finish by getting points. And I say that, but on the flip side, let's remember week six for a guy who's used to being a starter, who's been getting no first team reps to speak of since training camp and didn't get that many in training camp. So for him, a guy who's never been a backup in this league until this year, was a very different situation to step into. I thought he did a pretty nice job overall. For Mariota, not a day that we're used to seeing and not a day that we've seen very much in his career for sure.
It was tough to watch, Mike. I mean, and we all, I keep saying you want good things.
It was sad to watch.
Yes. You want good things to happen to good people. And we keep getting messages from people like, I felt so bad for him watching that performance and understanding on some level what he's going through, even though we don't. It was just hard. It was hard, man.
Well, it's hard because the person is so quality, and you know, he handles the post game in a quality manner, and it's never been all about him. He's always had tremendous humility. The other thing that's difficult right now is we've seen good moments. For some people who say, oh, well, I always knew he couldn't do it, it's like, well, you know, that's absolutely, you weren't at the Philadelphia game last year. You didn't see him play better than Brady last year head-to-head. You didn't see him beat Aaron Rodgers in 2016. I mean, this is a guy who's done some things in his career, and then to have that performance in year five and to be shut out, it's hard. I mean, it's really hard because I think everybody is and has been pulling for Marcus Mariota. I mean, he's had the support of every single person that I know since he got here. And now, he's had some difficulties this year. The 59% completion percentage and the yards per attempt and things like that, it's not been the same. And unfortunately, too, as part of the job, when the offense doesn't score in five of the last eight halves, that's where the buck is going to stop generally. And that's the job. He's paid well for it.
Yep.
He's treated well overall. I mean, life's not bad for a quarterback, but when it doesn't go well, the flip side of it is tough.
Mike Keith, our guest, again, the Mike Vrabel Show coming up after 3HL today at 6 o'clock, Titans Radio Network 104.5 The Zone. I think part of all the moments that you described, I think that's what makes this even more puzzling, even more hard to understand, and for a lot of fans, even more hard to take, Mike, because they've seen him perform at the highest level. They've seen him use his legs and run out of trouble. They've seen him catch his own touchdown pass in Kansas City and block linebackers to set Derrick Henry free.
Right.
They've seen all these things from him, and on top of that, they've seen him beat some of the best teams in the league, and then you go to Denver and you just lay an egg. It's just confounding to people because it's like getting a box every week, and when you unwrap it, you don't know what's going to be inside.
Well, I mean, the 7 points in the last two games is just, it's where the offense is right now. And, you know, they scored those 7 points after a takeaway. They only had to drive 38 yards for that touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have just not been consistently doing what they need to do. And then what it leads to when you can't get the pass game going is Derrick Henry has carried 35 times in the last two games for 100 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not what he's all about. He was running well early in the season, but now people are going to take that away because they're not going to respect the other part. And, you know, the Titans have got to get something going to be able to utilize some of the weapons that they have on offense. And you've seen them at different points. You've certainly seen Henry. You've seen A.J. Brown. We know Delanie Walker. We saw Jonnu Smith with a 57-yard catch and run. Corey Davis has made plays. And when Tannehill came in the game, he got Corey Davis involved, which was a good thing. So, I mean, there are things there. The offensive line can play better. The receivers can play better. But, I mean, something's got to give to get this offense in gear based on the fact that you're not out of this season. You know, we saw a 1-5 Colts team come back last year. We saw an 0-3 Houston team come back last year. Teams do it every year. But you fall too much further behind the eight ball, then you have no chance. And the schedule gets tougher in the next 4 weeks for the Tennessee Titans.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Another segment with the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Mike Vrabel today spoke to the press, to the media, said that the Titans would make a decision on the starting quarterback tonight and into tomorrow. Mike, I'll ask you this. Let's say they make that decision, and whenever the public finds out, I don't think he'll hold a press conference and say it. You know, maybe he'll want to keep some mystery with the Chargers. But whenever we're able to find out, whenever we find out, would you be surprised if the ultimate decision is Marcus Mariota is still the starting quarterback?
I don't know that I'll be surprised either way based on the fact that you can go two ways in this. You can say we need to go in a different direction, and it's Tannehill. But you can also say, this is our guy. He's been our guy. And in looking at what happened and in looking at who we're going to play, we're best served by sticking with our guy. So, I mean, because he has so much history and because he has been the starter for five seasons now, I think he gets an extra long look at this moment, particularly looking at the fact that the opponent this week, the Chargers, is a team that he played well against last year in London. So I think they'll weigh everything, and my honest answer in this season, which has not been what I or probably anybody else expected to this point, I don't think I'll be surprised with either answer.
Do you think at some point, and again, this is just, this would be speculation unless you know something specific about it, that it would be wise to find some extra eyes maybe for Arthur Smith or for Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, where you've got a couple of guys who are first-year calling plays for Arthur Smith, Carter only in his second full-time season as an offensive line coach, not as an assistant. But you find, some guy out there who Vrabel trusts, who John Robinson trusts, just to come in and say, let me look at this and tell you what I'm seeing.
Well, Keith has a really good coach with him in Mike Sullivan. And Mike Sullivan's been around this league. He was a lineman in this league. Sully's been with us for 6 years. He's a really good offensive line coach in his own right. I think Keith and Mike overall have done a good job. And I think as we see this five play together more, I think we're going to see progress. Listen, they're going to be growing pains with Nate Davis. It's just going to, we're not at Charlotte anymore, you know, but he's a physically talented, smart kid who is one of the best five, and they've got him in there. And at times he looks dominant, and at times he gets lost. So, you know, there are going to be some issues that you're going to battle with him. But as Mike Vrabel said today in his press conference, there appear to be better communication. There appeared to be some things that sort of fit together. Some of the sack total, I think, is very misleading based on the first two sacks were not typically what you would call the quarterback getting taken down 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And then remember, too, late in the ball game, Tannehill was under some pressure because Denver knew he was going to throw every down.
Yep.
In terms of Arthur Smith, I'm an Arthur Smith fan. I remain very bullish on his upside. I think Todd Downing's a good coach with him. I think Pat O'Hara's a good coach with him. The rest of the offensive staff, the Rob Moores and the Tony Dews and Luke Steckel and Chandler Henley, I think those are some good coaches. And what's frustrating to me right now is, guys, there are plays there. And we've missed a lot of plays. I just don't get the sense that play calling has been the major issue. I think it's a matter of executing. You know, you've had multiple screens on the year that, if completed, would have gone for huge gains. One was obviously a big drop, and then there were a couple yesterday, one in particular, that if thrown accurately, it's a big gain. So I'm not as down in that area. I just think there are some things functionally that they have to do better. In particular, you got to be, I mean, the 59% jumps out. You got to be more accurate in the pass game. You got to be mid to upper 60s.
Defense continues to play well. We'll get to that. But real quick, Brett Kern tied an NFL record, Mike, for punts downed inside the 20. 9 total punts, 8 down, 8 went inside the 20. Brett Kern had 424 punt yards yesterday.
That's not good. You know, I mean, when you're punting 9 times, I mean, I'm glad for Brett, and Brett's the best in the game, and I'm glad we've got him, and I love him as a human being, and I he's a great golfer and a lot of fun, but, man, I wish we saw less of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, you know, it's, I mean, 9 punts. I mean, this is like out of 1956 or something. That's got to change.
How insane is this, though, Mike? This team has been in Tennessee since 1997, and essentially it's had 2 punters.
It really is. You know, that's really an amazing stat. Reggie Hodges sort of filled the breach between Craig Hendrick and Brett Kern. The more amazing thing to me, Mickey, is I thought Craig Hendrick was the best situational punter in the NFL while he was our punter. I wanted nobody else. And I think Brett Kern may be better. Yeah. And that's crazy because I thought Hendrick was that good. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's really made himself into something special with what he's able to do, not only with the longer punts, but what he's able to do directionally and situationally as well. And that's really where punting is today. That's the difference. You know, used to, Ray Guy just reared back and kicked.
Yeah.
And if guys did that today, they might average 60 yards a punt.
Right.
But you can't do that. You know, the punt return you saw yesterday, 57-yard punt on the first one. Well, returned 42 yards because the first guy missed.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're better off if that punt's a little higher and a little shorter.
Total defense, Titans ranked number 8, scoring defense ranked number 5. They're playing well enough defensively to be 6-0. And that's got to be a frustrating thing. I know they're not going to say that, but it's got to be.
Well, we threw out the stat yesterday that teams that had held their opponents to under 20 or 20 or fewer points had won 79% of their games.
Oh.
The Titans have done it in all 6, and they're 2-4.
Wow!
So the Titans are actually skewing the average because if you take them out, it would be well over 80% wins. And had you told me before the season that they would have allowed 92 points and not once over 20, what the record would be, I would have guessed 5-1. You know, I really would. I wouldn't have guessed 6-0 because I'd have thought, okay, this is a trick question.
Right,
but I'd have guessed 5-1, and so that's frustrating. But it also gives you hope. It gives you hope that if you can get this thing back into gear offensively, and you don't have to be the 99 Rams. You don't. I mean, if they could just be scoring 21 points a game, if they could just get to average or above average slightly. They've got a chance to get the season back on track. That's a good thing. The bad thing is they haven't so far, and they're 2-4, and that's what's frustrating people.
Hey, on the way out, Mike, again, Mike Vrabel show coming up, Mike Keith, Mike Vrabel at 6 o'clock. Jeffrey Simmons, based on his designation on football injury list, able to start practicing and then to start playing, I guess, as soon as this week. What do you expect to maybe see from him snap-wise? Do you expect to see him at all this week?
I mean, that one is bizarre because they've made it clear he's starting the 3-week window of practice this week.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they want to play him, they'll have to activate him. I think it matters how they are injury-wise in the defensive line. And as we look at them right now, they look pretty healthy. I think it matters where Simmons is based on the rust. Because, I mean, he's never practiced with this football team.
Right.
Not once. He didn't go through May or June or July or August or September. I mean, he's never practiced. So we don't really have any idea what he's going to look like on the field. If he looks good, then they've got to cut somebody on this roster somewhere. And then you wouldn't do it, I would not think, in order to make him an inactive. Maybe, I don't know. He traveled this weekend with him. And that was kind of, it was exciting to see him on the road. But, I mean, they're trying to acclimate him as best they can. They're trying to get him in the rhythm. And by all rights, he has done so well medically. The other thing that I hear, too, is what a pro he's been in meetings and with his rehab work and with his training. They are just elated with him in terms of how he's handled this whole process. He has been a pro about his rehab and has given himself a chance to get back in the mix, I think, earlier than most people thought. And that's a credit to him. Now we see him play, maybe, right?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just super interested in what that looks like. I've been on him. You and I were talking one day after practice at training camp, and I'm like, look at that dude over there. Just look at that guy. Look, just watch him stretch. They don't make many people like that.
No, he's not. And if people haven't seen him, I mean, he's 6'4", 315 or whatever, but he's a very different 6'4", 315 than the normal guy. He's got massive calves and massive arms and massive shoulders. I mean, he is a hulking, in-shape-looking sort of big dude who has an explosive burst. It's like what we've talked about with A.J. Brown, you know, those traits. And everybody got on people about, okay, you got to slow down on A.J. Brown. And you said, man, we haven't had a guy that looked like this dude.
Yeah.
The only guy that we've had that looked like Simmons in terms of just being extra big was Haynesworth. Now, Haynesworth was big in a different way, but it's just like there's big and then there's wow. And Jeffrey.
Extra big.
And I mean, that's why everybody just calls him Big Jeff. Hey, Big Jeff. I mean, that's you right. know exactly who they're talking about. And there are guys bigger than him who call him Big Jeff. I mean, it's crazy.
All right, well,
that's a fantastic. We're saving that, Mike, just for whatever. We're
there
saving
are guys
that.
Bigger than yes. him that call him.
They call Jeff. Him Big Jeff.
Yep. Mike Keith, host of the Mike Vrabel Show. We expect some breaking news with regard to the quarterback situation. Yep. So listen, people.
That may be fake news right there. I'm not sure.
I was going to say that's a heck of a tease.
Maybe. It's a tease.
If people want to ask Mike Vrabel who's the starting quarterback this week, who do they tweet to?
Well, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping he'll say. He ain't going to say, but I'm hoping he'll say. They could tweet to @TitansRadio. That's @TitansRadio. And again, Daniel Jeremiah on in our first segment. Excited to have him. He's a great guy and one of the best in the business. And Dave McGinnis also on the show. And then the head coach, Mike Vrabel, tonight at 6 here on 104.5 The Zone.
Mike, thanks so much. And thanks for the extra time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.